wild man.
I watch you struggle, and I watch you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:54 Central Daylight Standard Time. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeofmagnolia.com. I'm your friendly host, @SonofCrow2 on Twitter, @SonofCrow on Venmo. To one side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR, is a man of taste, a man who owns a couple of Hawaiian shirts, whose shirts match his tropical fish tanks, AU Chief.
Peanut, beat that thing.
If you have noticed, I introduced Chief first because he's here. To the other side of me is not data scientist Ryan Starrett, @RyanSStarrett on Twitter, because he is elsewhere, and through the magic of the internet, we're reaching out to him from an undisclosed location. Ryan, can you read us?
Loud and clear.
Okay, yeah, a little bit of a delay, that's okay. That's what happens when you are using Skype, which I think is a Microsoft property.
It is.
Yeah, because it lasts me to log in with my Microsoft Office or something like that.
My Hotmail login from 1997.
Anyway, what I was telling these guys before the show is that I'm losing respect for Auburn great Frank Thomas because watching a lot of Tour de France, and on the NBC Sports Network app, you only get about 10 commercials, and so it cycles through them, and there's a lot of commercial breaks in a four-hour, five-hour-long cycling race. And so seeing Frank Thomas debase himself for wiener pills is just for something called Nugenics, which like sounds a lot like eugenics, yes, which is a really horrible thing. Yeah, not great.
I thought Nugenics was some sort of a diet.
It's testosterone boosting is what it is.
Oh.
It's supposed to build lean muscle, and they're probably a sponsor.
So you can hit more home runs.
I really don't care. Yeah. And so, you know, when you're 40, you lose your free testosterone. So you pay them for more testosterone. Yeah. I think that's what they're talking about. Yeah. I've seen the commercial 10,000 times. On today's show, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk a little bit of hoops. Maybe a lot of bit of hoops. What's really funny is that we are at least twice as many days from basketball season as we are football season. Yet, we're talking way more basketball again than we are football. Ryan, you sent us the show notes. I know our feed is not going super well, but can you talk a little about the basketball commit we got? Otherwise, Chief and I can talk about him.
Yeah, so we got a guy who reclassified out of the 2020 class, and he'll actually be on campus this season, Devin Cambridge out of Atlanta. He's AAU teammate with Sharif Cooper and BJ Boston, which might have something to do with why he's coming to Auburn. I won't really speculate on that too much. But he's a pretty good player in his own right. I think, from what I understand, he's like a 3 or 4. I'll lean more on the basketball.
Rivals has him as a 3. He looks like he's on that same AOT team, that AAU team, like you said, with Sharif. We're basically signing that entire team. Which is, I mean, that's not a bad thing to do. That happens all the time, but you know.
Plus Walker Kessler.
Yeah, plus Walker Kessler. So you have a bunch of guys who have played together or played
that
against each other, and that really helps in terms of your team. It really is. And, like that's one of those things that's like, it's not one of the ones that's, like, I know there's one that's called, like, Chris Paul, like, Team Chris Paul. Like, some of them are, like, owned by or sponsored by NBA players, and those obviously get really good players, but this is not one of those.
It's just an Atlanta area thing, right?
Yeah, what does AOT stand for?
Atlanta off the tracks?
Yeah, it's some funny thing. I'll do
Atlanta
some
outside the perimeter. No, it's not OTP.
Is it OPP? It's Athletes of Tomorrow.
Oh.
I'm down with AOT. Yeah, you know me. So, Ryan, you know, there's a lot of height and size we've added to the perimeter. If he's on the same team as BJ Boston and Sharif Cooper, it doesn't, you know, well, not going to hurt us in terms of our recruiting in the future either, which is kind of nice. And Ryan, who did we add in basketball? You have a basketball schedule added a few games. I've kind of been out of it. We've been in fundraising mode back at work. It's been pretty busy. Did we add anybody new? I know we added Iowa State today, which I'm disappointed
about. We picked up Iowa State for the Big 12 Challenge. It's not, I don't think it's the game everybody wanted, which is either Kansas or Texas Tech, but it's they're still a really good program.
Both had an unethical president
bowl. Yeah, this is a Chizik Leith Bowl.
The Chizik Bowl.
But,
or the Chizik Bowl.
Yeah. I was wanting to play Texas, Baylor, Kansas.
Well, I wanted Kansas or Texas Tech because we were both in the Final Four. That seems like a sexiest matchup.
Yeah. And I wanted Baylor because I have a Baylor connection back home, or Texas, or Kansas. One of the schools that are actually good at basketball. I guess Iowa State was sneaky good last year. I don't know.
I mean, they've been good. They had Carlos Boozer at one point.
Carlos Boozer went to Kansas.
Oh, wait.
You're thinking of the guy who had the mental health issue, Royce Young. Royce White, who went to the NBA and then ended up flushing out of the G League, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a guy from like 1999 that played for Iowa State.
They've been better than us. But everybody has. Well, I mean, everybody's been better than Auburn.
It's not a hard feat.
And Jared Harper, the Suns can now say they've got Jared. I know that's a headline that literally everybody used this week. But Ryan, what do you think about Jared Harper with the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's kind of what we all talked about was Jared getting a two-way contract on a team that needs point guard depth. I think you probably know more about how these two-way contracts work. It essentially means he can be a G League and an NBA player. Is that right?
Yeah, so basically he gets like 45 games. It's like 45 games max in the NBA. The rest of the games he has to play in the G League. If he even is in an NBA uniform for more than 45 games and doesn't play, they have to pay him league minimum salary. Also, I believe two-way contracts are two-year deals. I know, they're not guaranteed at all. So he could be cut at any moment off a two-way contract, and that's it. I know that the Mavericks, for instance, cut Kostas Antetokounmpo, Giannis's brother. They had him on a two-way deal and had him play in Summer League, and they didn't like what they saw, and so they cut him. And he was picked up like immediately by the Lakers. Who knows why? Maybe they think that is going to help him get Giannis in a couple of years. So they have his brother. Who knows? But I do know that two-way contracts can be really bad in terms of the fact that they're not guaranteed. They also be really good because if you're on a two-way deal, it allows the team to move you up to the NBA on a trial basis without having to commit a bunch of cash, which means your teams are much more likely to give guys shots in games they would normally not give guys shots in. Because they can do it. So Jared could get moved up for like a bogus game the Suns have in like November against the Grizzlies. They could go, hey, let's move Jared up, just see what he can do. And then he could show out and either another team could trade for him or the Suns could decide, hey, look what we've got. So yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing long term for Jared to have a two-way deal.
And if I doesn't he Especially get like he didn't get a prorated NBA contract for as long as he's in the NBA? Is that how that works?
Yeah, he gets a prorated deal.
So if he's there for a month, he gets an NBA minimum full-time. For a month.
Yeah, right. I believe that's right. But if he's only there, if he's in the G League the whole season, he stays at like I think it's $75,000 a year, which is not that bad. Because he's two-way, as opposed to the if he was just signed to a G League contract, it's a ton less, the amount of money is a ton less. So he's gonna make a lot more money on a two-way deal than he would if he had just been signed by the Iowa Barnstormers or whatever their name is now, the Grand River, there's Grand Valley Raptors or Rapids or something like that too. Most of the G League teams are named like the Austin Toros that wear black and silver and just are the Spurs. A lot of them are called, like, literally the Warriors. G League teams are both called, our G League team is called the Warriors.
Hmm.
A lot of them do that, kind of like Atlanta United, too. Or, like, in, like, the Bundesliga. Yeah. I know a lot of the, Dortmund has a Dortmund 2. It plays in, like, the third or fourth league. It helps. It helps them both. Because almost every NBA team, I might be wrong, that might be every team this year, has a G League team that they own. And they control all the rights of those players on it. Really has helped. The G League has grown a considerable distance from what it used to be when it first started. So now a lot of teams are using the G League like the Major League Baseball does in minor league.
What does G stand for in G League?
Gatorade.
Really?
It used to be the D League for the Development League, and then Gatorade said we would like it to be called the NBA Gatorade League. And the NBA said that'll cost you a lot of money, and Gatorade said, well, guess what we have?
X amount of money.
Yeah, a lot of money. Hmm. So.
You know, that's a good, that's the way football works in Europe.
Yeah.
And basketball, I assume, as well, probably works that way.
Yeah, there's different leagues, and then and a lot of times teams have minor league teams and academy teams. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for the league. I think it's a bad thing for college basketball.
Yeah.
But long term, it's a bad thing because I think a lot of kids are going to start testing G League waters because the G League does not have an age minimum yet.
Yeah.
Or it does have one, but it's a year younger. It's 18 instead of 19.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, that's, to me, and I believe, I'm not certain, but I believe a lot of, almost every G League game is televised on ESPN+. So if you would like to see Jared Harper play basketball this season, which I know you do, because you're an Auburn fan, you love Jared, you can watch the, they're called the Northern Arizona Suns, NA Suns, on ESPN+.
What city do they play in?
I knew you were going to ask me that. It's not Scottsdale. It's some other, like, I mean, it is not, it's just not a great sounding place. No, it's not like a fun, cool place that has a lot of good golf courses. It's like a place that you wouldn't want to go to.
I thought every city there had great golf courses.
Is
it just in the desert?
No, a lot of Northern Arizona is mountains, which is nice. Northern Arizona Suns play in Prescott Valley, Arizona.
No.
Prescott Valley, Arizona is a town located in Yavape County, Arizona, United States, about 8 miles east of Prescott, which it has surpassed in growth. Prescott Valley was the seventh fastest growing place in Arizona between 1999 and 2000. Currently 45,000 residents. So it's similar to Auburn. He's basically staying in the Lee County of Arizona, but I think it's a mountainous area, perhaps.
Orange Tree Podcast, your main source for Arizona geography and demographics.
We are the only Auburn podcast that will tell you that according to a 2017 census, there were 44,666 in Prescott Valley, California, Arizona. I'll also be the only host that knows now, except for now, Chief knows, and Ryan probably, if the Skype calls
too long.
The Walker Party discovered gold along Lynx Creek in 1863 right outside, and that's when the town started. There's gold in them thar hills. So that's where Jared's at now. Prescott Valley, Arizona. Pray for Jared that he gets to Phoenix as fast as he can. No, it's probably a lovely place, Prescott Valley. I'm sure they've got wonderful. The number of four employers, Walmart. So
making six figures. So it's pretty cool.
No, he's not. Almost. He might after if there's some sort of bonus involved. Yeah. I think he can make up to 225, including bonuses.
Right. Yeah. That's probably includes appearances for the Suns.
Yeah. Guess what he can do now, though? He can sign autographs for kids for money if he wanted to. Yeah. We couldn't do that last year.
Probably such a nice guy that he's probably not going to charge kids for autographs.
You know what else he can do? He can come back to Auburn, Alabama and sit in J&M and charge $15 an autograph and picture if he wants to.
It's true.
And he probably will do that if he's smart.
Yeah.
Because I'll pay him $15, get my picture taken with him.
People still remember you for sure. I mean,
yeah. He's a hero.
Right.
He's the best point guard in the history of the school.
Unless he becomes a breakout NBA star, his autograph line is as long as it'll ever be currently.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Ryan just texted us, I'm going to stop recording. I'm hearing random bits of Arizona geography, but I'm very lost. We all are, Ryan. We all are lost. Texted him back.
Guess we've lost Ryan.
We lost Ryan. Ryan in an undisclosed location somewhere in eastern Georgia, as far as I know.
It's close to a wing stop.
So here's what's happened is we've lost our anchor. We've lost our compass. Chief and I are rudderless, adrift on the sea of podcasting, and we have a show notes to stick with, but the question is, do we stick with it, or do I ask Chief, would you rather Auburn questions? I think the answer is the latter, not the former. Chief, would you rather? This is our Would You Rather segment in which I ask Chief questions. One is funny, one is not as funny. And the first one I'm going to go with is an Auburn funny question.
Okay.
Or Auburn not funny, just an Auburn question. Would you rather Auburn wins the next national championship in football, but Alabama wins the four after that in a row, four straight, okay? Or, okay, or would you rather Alabama wins this year's national championship in football, and then Alabama goes 3-9 the next four seasons, but Auburn does not win a national championship in that five-year span?
Ooh, man.
So you got 5 years, one of good for Alabama and four of just horrible.
Well,
or one great year for Auburn and then four just a dynasty, another like a continuation of the great Alabama dynasty.
Yeah. That's tough because that national championship would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
I'd love to have that. And that's what we play for.
That's what you say we play for. I play just to have a good time.
In a vacuum, sure, I'd take that. But then you have to consider where Alabama winning four more puts our program. It probably results in even more turmoil than we currently have.
Mm-hmm.
So
could you fathom a 4 year stretch of Alabama national championships?
Yes.
How that would affect Auburn? People would lose their minds.
Yeah. I think I go with choice number two because I think after that 4 year span of Alabama
3-9s,
Auburn, even if they're not winning a national championship in those 4 years, or 5 year span, as we have now said, I think we're in a much better place at the end of that 5 years.
You're probably right. We've probably beaten Alabama 4 years from
now. Right. So I think, you know, you didn't say we didn't win an SEC championship.
It's true. We could have won four of them.
So, yeah, I think I go with the second one.
Okay.
Despite my previous insistence that we do play for championships. I mean, the national championship is the ultimate goal.
Yeah, I know. And that's the truth. But I feel like I had this conversation with somebody.
You don't have to win one every year.
No. I had this question. I had this discussion with somebody before we won the 2010 national championship. And I said that I think that ESPN and the and the BCS or whatever, really just ESPN and the internet, have made it to where that is what we play for every year. There was a time in which that was a side effect of a good year, but not the definition of one. Right. The definition of a good year was you win your conference, you win your bowl game. Like if Auburn, it used to be, if Auburn won the Sugar Bowl, that was a good year.
Yeah. Well, bowls used to be more prestigious than they have been. I mean, people were like, oh, people complain about people complaining about adding more bowls. But the more bowls you add, the less prestige there are in those bowls. I mean,
yeah.
The bowl games used to be less, I mean, just by sheer, not definition, but if there's less people in the bowls, less people earning their spots in the bowls, if you earn a spot in a bowl, then it's more special than it is now when 100 people go play in a bowl game.
It's true.
But that's not me saying we need less bowl games.
Yeah.
But I do think that the prestige of a Music City Bowl that Auburn played in this year is a little less than whatever bowl game Auburn would have played in the 80s with a similar record.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to ask you a funny one.
Okay.
This is from the great podcast Comedy Bang Bang, which is one of my favorite podcasts.
Okay.
Would you rather everyone follows the New Year's resolution of the person farthest from them on New Year's Eve, or all cooked meat still acts alive? So whoever's furthest from you on New Year's Eve at that moment.
In the room?
Like no, in the world.
You are in the world.
You have to do their resolution, whatever their resolution.
Someone in
like Taipei or something.
Yeah. Right? Singapore.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you got to do whatever that man or woman's resolution. Or
maybe it's to not drink Chang beer for the year and then I'm good. But yeah, go ahead.
Chances are we would be completely irrelevant to you. Yes, right. Like you'd be like, well, I'm eating too much, you know, duck.
Yeah.
Wonton soup. Okay, I love wonton soup, but I could probably do it
with rice.
Yeah.
That might hurt me. I like my rice. Anyway.
Or cooked meat acts alive. So you have a steak that's mooing and,
and
moving around the table. Huh. It's cooked. You can eat it, but you got to catch it.
Oh, you got to...
Basically.
Oh, it moves.
Depending on what it is.
Jeez. I guess I'm going with... Oh, man. I can't choose... Which person furthest for me? There's just like a scientific.
It's just whatever one person magic, yeah, whatever at that moment.
That's tough because I don't know if the
resolution. Kind of like a Freaky Friday situation where you don't ever get to choose
who's Freaky Friday. Resolution is with. To like murder people.
There you go. You'd have to do it. Oh. Or if the resolution is like never go to America again or stop going to America. Well, you have to leave.
I'm going to be the biggest Alabama Crimson Tide fan this year.
Right. Just get too much Tide in here.
I guess I'm going to have to go with...
cooked meat acts alive?
Cooked meat that acts alive, yeah.
All right. Would you rather Auburn basketball... Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Here's the thing. Would you rather Auburn wins 2014 Iron Bowl, which I consider to be the biggest turning point in the program's history in the last 10 years. So Auburn wins the 2014 Iron Bowl, or... Auburn beats Georgia in 2016. 16 is the one that everyone, like, literally everyone lays the 2016 Iron Bowl. Anytime you bring up Gus Malzahn, positive or negative, the 2016 Georgia game is going to get brought up, period.
I've never been more mad about a game than that game.
2015, people give not a pass, but kind of a pass.
Yeah.
At this point, even though that should have been Jeremy Johnson's, like, breakout year.
Yeah.
Once we realized he wasn't, I think people give Gus more of a pass on Jeremy Johnson than they do on Sean White starting the 2016 Georgia game.
Well, because we shouldn't have been in that situation. But Sean White had been great all year, and then that happened, and it was disgusting. And I've never been more mad. I'd rather win that game.
You know that.
Just to be honest with you. Because I'd never, we were actually having a pretty good season.
Yeah.
14 had gotten away from us already by the time we played Alabama.
We won in 2016. I believe we won 7 or 8 straight games.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
The Georgia game, the wheels fell off.
It was the first time in Auburn history. I remember writing an article for this. It was one of the first articles I ever wrote. For the website, I used to do this thing where I cherry pick stats.
Yeah.
And then I realized that Josh Dubb
was
much better than I am. Yeah. But it was Auburn had never not beaten Alabama in a season in which it also had a 6-game winning streak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
It was the first time that Auburn had a 6-game winning streak and didn't also beat Alabama.
Yeah.
The wheels just fell off. It just completely fell off.
Yeah, I think we've got to be. I take that 16 win. We had that game won. If we win that game, if Sean White's hurt going into Alabama, we probably don't beat Alabama in 16. I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, but we get a better bowl game. It looks better. People aren't as mad, I think, about everything. There's no – you don't have that game to lay at Gus's feet and say – and honestly, I don't blame Gus. I think Sean White lied to them and said he wasn't hurt. Like, but when you can clearly see that the kid can't throw the ball.
In warm-ups, they could have seen that.
Don't probably. Let him. Don't have him throw the ball. And I think Rhett was calling the plays.
And Cam Petley was also not right
by
then either in the things, year.
But could have taken a knee.
Yeah.
Like, for the rest of the game and won the game.
Yeah.
It was the most frustrating game I've ever watched as an Auburn fan.
It's similar to, and this is a weird one, the 2011 Florida game?
Florida in 2011? Right. We played FAU.
I thought it was the University of Florida, and we looked like, I remember the quarterbacking being just really, like, I remember thinking, how did it get this bad this fast at quarterback for Auburn? And then the next year, we would come to find out that it would get way, way worse than that.
We play them.
All right. Next question.
Yeah, we did.
Would you rather the next 3 Marvel movies are somehow
just shot-for-shot remakes of the Billy Zane movie, The Phantom.
Oh, but the next three are...
The next three are just The Phantom, but like the first one's called The Phantom, and they just reintroduced The Phantom, which I don't even think is a Marvel property.
No, he's not. He's not. He's older than Marvel, I believe.
And the next two after that, they just like... They call it like Black Widow or whatever, but it really is just the same movie they just put out. Just
different actors.
They just put ScarJo in as the Phantom.
If you're going to tell me Billy Zane is in it,
then they call it Black Widow.
Yeah.
No, shot for shot remake of the Phantom.
Okay.
Or would you rather the next James Bond film, Bond 25, is just a complete rehash, re-script, same script, new actors, the new current James Bond actors. Doing Tomorrow Never Dies.
Oh my god.
Oh. Which is not the worst of the Brosnan films, but it sucks. Oh. And
there's only one good Brosnan film.
No, only the one. And
he's a great Bond. The film is terrible.
Me and Van Allen are going to disagree about this, but Tomorrow Never Dies is the most aged.
Tomorrow Never Dies is the one that's like the newspaper tycoon, right?
The guy wants to start a war between China and England, so that he
they could make that movie now because they have to make it for the China box office too. Right.
They want to start a war between China and England, so that he will have monopoly on the print and television media.
You got to remember, around this time, that was around the same time Hong Kong they handed over. It was. Right before they handed over Hong Kong, I believe. I think it was right after.
So, like, yeah, nowadays, who cares? Who has the print media right to the news story?
Print media.
At no point does this guy, he's sitting there typing on an iPad, bring up the fact that, hey, what if we want the streaming rights or the worldwide internet rights? Now, like, everything he talks about, he literally goes through, like, I want newspapers. I want magazines. And he goes through, like, 10 or 11 things.
I can be honest with you.
That are like completely irrelevant.
I want to see these
Phantom remakes.
No. I want to see this. I want to see this Bond movie because of how earnest everybody is.
Daniel Craig in these movies. Trying to do a Tomorrow Never Dies remake.
That would be awesome.
This is the Halo jump. I remember I loved this movie as a kid. I loved Tomorrow Never Dies, and now I watched it again recently, and I was like, God, this movie is horrible.
Yeah, Van likes that one, I know. And I mean, GoldenEye is really the only one that's worth watching. GoldenEye. It's actually good.
GoldenEye is the best Brosnan movie, period.
Yeah. I mean, there's some over-the-top stuff.
Sure.
Xenia there's a lady on, who kills, on top yeah, that kills men with, by...
Choking them with her legs?
Suffocating them, I guess.
I can't figure out what it is that she's doing with her legs. It's killing these men. Xenia on top.
That's her name.
On a top. Unbelievable. Tomorrow Never Dies also is like...
I can't remember the people's names in that.
Isn't the general named after something like General Chang, like the chicken?
Is it General So?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe. There's some weird Chinese food reference that they make.
Yeah.
All right. Man. Back to Auburn question. So you'd rather have Tomorrow Never Dies remake?
Yeah, because Daniel Craig. I think it would be hilarious.
It would be hilarious. Yeah. He's very serious, and that movie would be just bizarre. It would be kind of what it was. We had an actor who could have done a serious Bond,
yes.
Given scripts
that
were for a lunatic, yeah.
Like, not even, I don't know a Bond that could have done that. Like, not even Roger Moore could have pulled off the things that Pierce Brosnan was asked to do.
No, it was like Roger Moore was, it would be if Sean Connery was given a Roger Moore script and said, all right, make this happen.
Yeah.
That's been Bond talk. All right. Back to Auburn talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is not a would you rather. This is just a question, blanket question. Okay. What is the worst experience you've had in an Auburn win in Auburn, Alabama?
Worst experience I've had in an Auburn win?
At an Auburn home win.
Wow. It's tough. It's really tough. Football, I assume.
We're talking about. Unless you have a bad basketball experience.
I believe I do. Let me look up and make sure this was a win.
Dude, I remember a bad basketball. I remember Auburn beating Georgia in 2006 or 7 in basketball, and me looking at the guy next to me and saying, that was the worst basketball game I've ever watched at any level. That looked like two teams that had no business being on the court.
Well, I've been to a lot of those in the late Barbie years.
This was in the Lebo era.
Even though I like Lebo, that was a Lebo wasn't the most offensive minded coach, so some of the games were kind of slogs, and that was a slog of slogs.
Yeah,
because that was also after Georgia had gotten busted with some sort of pay for play scandal, and so their team was on probation, and they still almost beat Auburn or something like that.
I'm looking this up because Auburn played Ole Miss in Beard Eves. Let's see schedule and results. In February. Yeah, it was a win. This is going to get real and depressing real quick.
I can't wait.
At this Auburn basketball game, Ole Miss, and my phone kept getting blown up by people from Fort Payne, and it turned out one of my very best friends had died in a car crash.
Oh, man. So that is dark.
I did not go back to Auburn. I didn't go back to a game at Beard Eves for probably over a year after that.
Hmm.
It was a bummer.
Yeah, it is a bummer.
So, sorry about getting so real, but that was a really horrible win for Auburn.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Football? At the time, I didn't think of it as so bad. That win over South Carolina in 2014, I believe.
Okay.
Where we really shouldn't have won the game because we had... It was wild. There at the end, we had two guys with the same number on the field defending and all this other stuff. I think that was that game. I think that was 2014.
Was that
right?
Two Montrevious Atkinsons on the field because Duke Williams is also on the field?
Yeah. And it was
a Hail Mary.
Yep. It was right before the butt fumble fiasco with Texas A&M, I believe I have my timeline right.
Yeah.
Because we should have won that one, and then the next week we had a bunch of other weird stuff happen, and we did end up losing to Texas A&M. To similar...
Was this the Ole Miss game? It was the Ole Miss game you're talking about.
No. This was South Carolina.
South Carolina. Which was the game that I felt horrible because we won, but Ole Miss's receiver, like Laquan Treadwell.
Oh, no, I was there.
His leg blew out.
That was rough.
Was that at Auburn?
No, that was
at Ole Miss.
I was in Oxford, and those people...
That's the worst I've ever felt about winning a football game in my life. We should have lost that game on that play, and instead
won the
game.
I didn't feel bad about it, especially the way that a lot of the Ole Miss fans were treating Auburn people after that game, acting as if we had...
If we had murdered him?
Yeah. Like, as if I personally had done that, called us a bunch of cheaters because of that, because we broke his leg on purpose. They still say Chris Frost broke his leg.
There's no way to break someone's leg on purpose like
not
that.
Not like that. He was just making
it. If Chris Frost had done that, he's the most talented linebacker
in
the
world. Right.
Because he could have done it on command. He could have broken the guy's leg every game.
Yeah, just look at him.
Kevin Still should have said, Chris, go do the break your leg play on Johnny Manziel. Let's get this over with.
Yeah. No, that was rough. That was not in Auburn. I was there. It wasn't enjoyable because of the people after the game. But I understood it. I understood that they were as good as they are ever going to be, probably. And 2 weeks in a row, they lost to Alabama, I think, the week before. They lost to someone, and then they were like, no, we still got this. We're still going to win the West. They were all being pretty nice the night before, but fairly smug because they thought they were going to beat Auburn.
They may have beaten Alabama that year. That may have been the situation. I know Hugh Freeze beat them.
They had lost a game the week before. It may have been Ole Miss or LSU.
Okay.
But then of course, they lost to us, shattering any expectations they had of competing for the national championship, which is what they thought they were going to do. So they were not happy. They were not a bunch of happy people.
I mean, Mississippi schools... Could you imagine that type of like, I mean, that is every day you wake up knowing before the year starts, there's no chance we're winning this thing.
Mediocre.
Like Mississippi State fans right now might think, yeah, we got Nick Fitzgerald.
Okay. I think Ole Miss has had a couple of 10-win seasons. So, in the last 15 years.
I mean, Mississippi State had the best coach in the history of the school. They were number two in America at one point.
Yeah.
No, not Mississippi State.
Oh, sorry.
They were number two in America with Dak Prescott and still could not get it done.
Yeah.
And now they've got Joe Moorhead and a quarterback who literally cannot throw, who beat us last year but cannot throw.
Joe Moorhead, James Jones' favorite coach, apparently.
I didn't know this.
We looked at the media days this past week. It's a great segue.
It's real high. I don't
know. Ryan really wanted us to talk about media days. Well, I didn't watch 1 minute of.
Dude, not a second.
I went to Birmingham for it.
I saw a couple of pictures and little video of Gus on a muted TV at one point. That's about it. That's about all I've seen. Some Twitter videos that just scroll on past. Sorry, listeners. I'm not that interested in it.
I went to see the Shutdown Fullcast record live in Birmingham at Stars Karaoke Bar.
Was that fun?
It was a blast.
You'll probably hear an ad from them on this podcast right about now.
Great idea. I've taken a break. We hadn't done that yet. Shout out to Joshua Black, Joshua B. Black on Twitter.
JB, as we call him here.
One of the Joshes that this is the official podcast of.
Yeah.
Let me know that was coming. He knew, he had some inside information that was coming. Josh has some inside information about everything.
He likes to talk to people.
He is a well-connected guy.
It's pretty funny what happens when you just talk to people.
Yeah. And you're nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're a genuinely nice dude. Yeah. We're going to have him on the pod at some point. I know he is sold on the 2012 podcast, which working title is How Bad Can It Get? : The Story of the Auburn Tigers 2012 season. And we're going to talk. We're going to have people on to talk and grieve and really like get into the nitty gritty of what it felt like to be a fan or a reporter in 2012. Speaking of reporters, it was media day. I saw two Auburn beat writers were at the Shutdown Fullcast show.
Oh, talk to him. Jay Ferg
and Tom Green.
Oh, yeah, our buddy Tom from Minneapolis.
He was there, the both of them. And they were bored to tears about being at media day.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, that's got to be
it's a beating.
Horrible job.
I can't imagine. I mean, I love, it'd be really super fun to be a beat writer, but that is a beating to have to go cover media days.
Yeah.
To ask the same question.
Well, and it's, you're talking to somebody that's been asked the same question over
and who is there to give you milquetoast answers. Like Gus is a coach speak coach.
From what I saw, though, Gus was...
Gus was fired up.
He was dealing. He was giving them a lot more at this thing than usual.
From what I read, Gus was like, look, I'm going out on top. Here's the deal. I'm going to be me at the end of this thing.
Guns blazing. Yeah. Riding a dragon with his shirt off.
Because Gus did what I said last year I hoped Gus would do, and that is, if this is going to be it, then I'm calling my own plays, running my own offense, and no one can blame anybody but me. And I think we've seen Gus, Auburn got a JUCO commit from the number one offensive tackle in JUCO. We got another, I think that's the second offensive tackle JUCO commit we have for next year, which we're all really worried about the offensive line. Hmm. Not this season, but next season.
Yeah.
I think Gus is kind of shoring that up with some junior college talent at the moment.
It's going to be wide open competition next year.
Yeah. So
we got a German guy.
Yeah, and he's German. He's off Deutsch.
I don't know if you guys know, but the Germans won the football world championship just over 4 years ago. So.
I did not know that. They beat us? Were we in it?
We were in that one.
Okay.
We lost to Belgium, remember?
That's right. Oh, you're talking about the World Cup.
Football.
Yeah, you're right. They did win it.
They're a footballing nation.
You know, Germany. The German American Football League is a big deal.
Oh, is it? I didn't know.
I mean, as far as American football goes.
So do we think this guy played American football over there? Because I saw some people saying, oh, he's only played 1 year of football here.
That's what I wanted to know. I didn't look into it. I looked into where he was from in Germany. It looks like it's a suburb of Munich.
Oh.
So he's a southern German guy.
That's where I think everyone's from is Munich.
Well, if he's from Bavaria, here's what I know about him. Number one.
He loves beer.
Well, he loves Bavarian beer comes in steins and usually ends up warm at the end. Because if you have a liter of beer, it's going to be warm.
I've seen Beer Fest.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Documentary Beer Fest. Whereas where I lived in Germany, the beer comes in like 0.2 liter small glasses because they want it to be cold. Yeah. It's a whole thing. And people in the north think the Germans in the south are rednecks. It's very similar to the United States. So
interesting.
He's going to be from a place that's very hospitable, very warm, kind of similar culturally to the South in terms of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And other than, like, if he'd been from where I lived in Germany, he'd be more much more of a culture shock for him. It's going to still be one.
Sure.
Because the language and all that stuff.
I played basketball with a guy named Jan Ballback, who was from Munich.
Nice.
I assume he was probably from somewhere outside Munich. Yeah.
He was a big city.
It was a bit of a culture shock. He was big into Genesis. I know this is a weird
thing. Band Genesis? Yeah, prog rock?
Yeah, big into it, which is weird for a kid that's, you know, 16 in 2000.
You know what my hottest Genesis take is?
What?
That's the only good Phil Collins. And that, I mean, people really disagree with me on that.
Man, I like Phil Collins.
I know. A lot of people do.
Phil Collins. You and Roger Bennett hate Phil Collins.
I don't like Phil Collins. I like Genesis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Peter Gabriel was...
Yeah.
Some people don't like Phil Collins' Genesis. They only like Peter Gabriel's Genesis.
I like Peter Gabriel, period.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just not a big In the Air Tonight fan.
What?
It's fine.
I used to listen to that before basketball.
I know. For some reason, it became like the pump-up song.
Well, I thought I was weird for listening to it.
No, they used to play it at Jordan Hare before games, and I always was like, this is so dumb. This is not the pump-up of a song.
Yeah,
it's a very slow song. And then it goes...
The best is Family Guy's does a rendition of that. Stu sings it, and it is... It's maybe the best thing that's ever been on Family Guy. Yeah, it's really good. Look that up. Family Guy, In the Air Tonight. You'll love it.
Absolutely.
You'll appreciate it.
So,
the full cast.
The full cast, it was good times. They talked about media days. Media days stink. But Gus made media days a little more interesting, I'm sure, than most, just because he wasn't his usual...
Except my dad even called me today, like, commenting on how Gus was, you know, fired up.
We kind of got fired up Gus. I think Gus thinks he's got more job security than most Auburn fans think he has.
It's either, well, it could be that. It could be a combination of things. It could be that he's like, you know what? I can't, like, this is it. Like, I'm just going to do it. What are they going to do? He has been here. This is his seventh season?
Yeah.
So you kind of think, like, well, I mean, okay. Like, if they fire me, I'm going to get paid. I'm going to go get another job somewhere.
Right. So he would be. If Gus Malzahn were to be terminated from his contract at Auburn, he would be unemployed for about a day.
Yeah, he'll go somewhere.
Somebody would hire him as an offensive coordinator or head coach the next day.
Yeah, so I think he's probably feeling loose. I think he's been given some assurances by some people, maybe.
I think so, too.
And I don't know. I'm excited to see it. I was with you the whole time. Like, if you're going to do it, do it. Your way.
Yeah. And his back's not, like you mentioned, his back's not really against the wall. His back is against the wall in that he could get fired and make $30 million.
I think he has to have a really good season this year to perhaps pad out what might happen next year, though.
I think you're right. I think next year could be really bad in a lot of ways.
And if, again, I mean, if we lose five games again, then, I mean, it does begin to appear that he is incapable of doing much more than that.
I mean, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, LSU.
Oh, it's tough, man.
We could lose those four games easy.
Yeah. And Oregon.
Without skipping. We could lose five games.
I looked at it, and last year when we were talking about this stuff, I looked at it, and I said, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough.
Florida's going to be really good this year, probably. Oregon's going to be pretty good, probably. Alabama and Georgia are going to be good. Ole Miss might not be terrible this year.
We play LSU at LSU.
We lost to Mississippi State last year, right?
Yeah.
So
Texas A&M has Jimbo Fisher. A lot of talent.
Go there again this year, right? Is that right? Yes. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
So while our two biggest games are at home, it's still a tough schedule all around. So,
and it's a tough schedule to be a fan of because of the way it pans out where it's like,
yeah,
you got the two home games in November. You start out on the road.
Yeah.
It's a really weird home slate.
You start, well.
It isn't like last year we had like multiple, what was last year, like five straight home games?
Yeah. I'm missing my first opener in a long time.
Because you're not going to Dallas?
Yeah, I can't. It's for listeners, I think we've talked about, I'm having a baby soon. I'm right. not. My wife is.
Right.
And that would be probably cutting it a little close. It'll be within a month of when he's due. So, we might have a name reveal next week. We've got a first name.
Tune in next week when Chief reveals his baby's name.
Hey, I need middle names, y'all. We need middle names.
Send your middle names to @AUChief on Twitter and also @JamesJones55 on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or AUJonesy, right? No, JamesJones55.
And AUSquid.
AUSquid. AUSquid for Chief. Let Chief know what to give his kids.
Let's not name Auburn basketball players. Trust me, I tried every name for a basketball player that we had.
And don't do things like Mark. Coors Light is not a proper middle name. Well, for these kids. Maybe it is.
Look, Miller Light is a child's name.
Matthew McConaughey's son. Matthew McConaughey's brother's son. Yeah. Rooster's
son. Now, Coors Light, I'd try it, but it's not going to work.
Coors Light, spelled K-E-W-R-S.
Yes. Yeah.
There's probably some kid named Coors, K-E-W-R-S, at some white rich kid school right now.
I was going to say probably some like West Texas desert school.
No, this is probably some white rich kid school in Los Angeles. Oh, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, Coors.
Oh, man. Oh, poor kid.
Hey, Mason. This is Coors.
Mason. I like how you go straight to Mason.
Mason, yeah. Well, guys, look, we got some left we got to talk about.
Yeah.
We did a staff picks.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't pull those up.
Yeah, pull
because
up.
Like you said, it was
James
pretty hilarious.
The thing we discovered is that James Jones is a huge
Mississippi State
Joe
fan.
Moorhead fan.
Man, you're not lying.
He displaced Ryan Sterrett as the official cheerleader of Starkville, Mississippi.
You're right. I mean, I can't imagine. Like, wait one second, Chief. Keep talking. I can't get my Google documents to open.
I wonder what. Well, Ryan didn't even pick them as high as old James did. So I don't get it. I thought Ryan.
Yeah, was Ryan. I'm surprised he didn't pick up when the SEC championship.
National championship. We didn't pick that. We should have done a national champion, although I guess we were focused on SEC.
All right. Did Josh Dubb pick some of these? Otherwise, I'm going to have him be the record. No, he did pick some.
He did, yeah.
All right. So I'm the only one. No, I'm not. Me and James Jones and Chief, all three picked Auburn to win the SEC championship. With only three Barners in the whole group.
Look, these people are not Barning hard enough. Meanwhile, that was what I was looking at.
Jack, Ryan, Drew McCracken, Nerd, Will, Josh Dubb, B. Gwynn, you all picked Alabama.
Well, I guess they love the Tide.
Guys,
couldn't be me. Couldn't picking. Be me.
I wouldn't pick Alabama to win a game of Tiddlywinks. If Alabama was playing the jihadis, I don't think I'd pick them.
We'll get a bumper. There are bumper stickers that reference rooting for the Ayatollah or something instead of anyway.
Yeah, and here's the coach ranking. So here's okay.
This is where we're getting what we're meat, getting like a story here.
Meet a story. Now, and these are the people who picked Saber as the number one coach. Me. Everybody picked Nick Saban as number one coach in the conference, except for James Jones, who picked Joe Moorhead.
Look, that's terrific. Respect.
Yeah, me too, man.
Joe Moorhead.
He looks straight up at those five national championships Saban's won and is like,
I don't know.
He hasn't quite shown me enough. Joe Moorhead.
I thought this was coach of the year.
This is up and coming. Is it coach of the year or is it just coach ranks?
I guess it's coach.
I picked it as coach ranks, like, this is the number one coach in the conference.
Well, he is. And
meanwhile, I have Joe Moorhead as eighth. No, it's tenth. I have him as tenth best coach in the conference.
I feel like I have him pretty low. I think I bumped him up because I was like, well, maybe James knows maybe something James. I don't.
You and I both have him at tenth.
Okay. Yeah, I think I may have had him lower.
James has him at first. My goodness gracious. Oh, best, this is my favorite thing, is that Jack picked, no, not Jack. Ryan picked a guy I've never heard of as the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, there were some names I've never heard of.
You picked Doo-Doo Brown. Is that Derrick Brown's name?
Yeah, Derrick Brown. Go on.
Yeah. This is really, it's really funny. Like, newcomer of the year, James picked Kelly Bryant.
I think there's an article that you can also read to see these picks, right?
I'm sure.
I think Jack put one up.
I like that Chief put the worst game of the year is going to be any game involving a Bam or a dog.
Well, that's...
That's pretty good. It's pretty good, Chief. Pretty good, Barnum. I picked the best non-conference game is LSU-Texas because at one point while we were filling this article out, Ryan was like, oh, we weren't supposed to pick Auburn and stuff.
Which, what?
Yeah, which is a huge waste of time. I don't know why
I would pick Auburn? This. Probably.
You picked Auburn and everything like you're supposed to. Except for a non-conference game, you put Canes and Gators. I put LSU and Texas. I'm actually kind of interested in LSU and Texas. I mean, Lord knows they aren't playing A&M. They should at least play somebody in the
SEC.
Yeah,
yeah. No, that's cool. They should play A&M.
They should play A&M every year.
They should just do it. Like, why
not? They should just kiss. That's what I tell them.
It's totally...
Just kiss, guys. Like, come on, man. Best conference game. I'm the only one who picked the... No, me and Josh Dubb picked the Iron Bowl. Everybody else picked other nonsense.
What did I pick?
Auburn at Florida.
Oh, well, that's...
And you put a frowny face.
No, it's because I can't go. That's why I put a frowny face. I have a ticket, and unless it gets hurricaned out and delayed until later in the year.
Yeah, that's Ryan's theory is that it's going to get hurricaned out.
Look.
And they're going to move it to the week between the Georgia game and the Alabama game.
Horrible for Auburn for that to happen.
Are you kidding me?
Horrible. It would be amazing for your boy here sitting next to you because I would actually get to go because I only have 3 stadiums left in the SEC.
You've never been to Florida?
I've never been there. I had a ticket my freshman year in the bygone era of 2002. That was 17 years ago now. I had a ticket, but no one to go with. So I just sold it to some kid.
You know that $20 the freshmen at Florida were born after Steve Spurrier last coached a game.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. Ryan's sister
doesn't know Steve Spurrier coached Florida.
She's heard the name before. She has no idea who he is.
Yeah, it was 18 years ago. 2001 was the last time Steve Spurrier was employed by the University of Florida.
Tommy Tuberville just ran him out of town by beating him.
Future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville.
Actually.
Who's announced today that he's not taking a salary if he wins the U.S. Senate.
I saw that. When he wins it, because it's Alabama, and he's definitely
probably going to win. One of my favorite questions that was the shutdown forecast was, if Nick Saban retired and ran as a Democrat against Tommy Tuberville.
Which I think he would.
Who would win?
Tough.
Because... I mean, our Alabama fans,
guys,
who are mostly Republican,
that is
going to go out and vote for Saban because he's Saban, but he's Democrat.
That is, that's tough.
That's tough. Are Auburn fans going to go?
Because our politics have become so much like our sports.
Yeah.
And that you pick a side and you just go with.
I think Saban would win, even as a Democrat, over Tuberville. That's tough.
Yeah, man, that is tough. Well, maybe they'd just be like, it's just like George Wallace, guys. We can vote for him.
Yeah. Fran finally making an appearance on the pod.
Poor Fran.
Fran doesn't like Saban or Tubbs, to be honest. No. She doesn't want either one of them to be senator.
I like Tommy, but...
I like him as a guy. He's a cool guy. Always has nice watches on. That's my main remembrance of him as a coach, is being like, golly, he has a nice
watch. My dad loved his hats. My dad had to have the hat that Tommy
Tubbs
was going to wear.
He had a good... Russell Athletic hat.
Every year?
Every year. And I think his Under Armour hat was good too, but not like his Russell hats. Is that your phone?
My phone is killing us. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry for the phone. This is terrible etiquette.
I just keep thinking I was getting a coin. This podcast is off the rails.
Way off the rails.
Fran
we're talking
screaming.
Senate races.
Yeah, man. Look, we should probably just go.
Yeah,
anyway, we talk about media days. It's the height of the off season. Ryan's stupid Skype didn't work. It's been just a thing.
We were supposed to watch Captain Ron.
You know, you're right. I think Ryan squirreled out on us because of that. I think he doesn't want to see Captain Ron. So you and I should have watched it.
Well, we should have, because that would have been amazing. Yeah. Maybe we will have to do what we talked about. Maybe
we all just watch it. Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll probably have to do a separate pod in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be a terrible idea, but we would all have to make time.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get this living room finished at some point.
Okay.
We're going to set the TV up.
before a home football game on a Friday night. Yeah. Anybody who wants to come over and watch Cap Ron can come over and watch Cap Ron. And then we'll report. We'll have guests.
Perfect.
Well, James and Lydia, well, Indiana James will be at the We'll be there as a guest on the Cap Ron pod. That's it. Perfect. We've decided it. Maybe Josh Black will jump in.
I mean, he'll be in town.
We can quickly
bring that giant dog of his. I
want to see. Yeah, we can quickly record a 2012 podcast with everybody there and just kind of some interviews. Somebody said we should just do a drunk history episode of 2012 and have someone just tell them what happened. All right. From all of us here at collegeandmagnolia.com, Orange Street Podcast.
Bonus.
We love you, Madeline.